Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of love, prayer, your place of love, your place of acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us today as we're here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're asking that you would now join us in prayer, in devotion, I'm sorry. Can I get Mr. Brian, if you would sing a song, and if I could get Mr. Barnett Jefferson, Mr. Eric Jefferson, if you would read the scripture, which is Psalm 78, 4, 6, and 7, and Dr. Nix, if you would offer prayer. Who else is on the line tonight? Anybody else you want to join in, feel free to let me know. We'll get you involved. Okay, Mr. Moton, I see you there. Okay, so I'm ready to start. You ready to go? Let's go. Brother Mark, would you get us started for this evening? Brother Mark, would you get us started for this evening?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us across the country and across the world to Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the world is sustained. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules, and we'll start this evening's session with song, scripture, and then prayer. Our song for this evening will be, I Need You to Survive. I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me, agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is your will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you, and you pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His will that every need supplied. You are important to me. I need you to. I need you to. I need you to. I need you to. I need you to survive.
Amen. Amen. Tonight's reading will be from the book of the 78th book of Psalms, chapter 78 book of Psalms, verses 4, 6, and 7. To the New Living Translation. We will not hide these truths from our children, but we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of His power and the mighty miracles that He did, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn may teach their children, so each generation can set its hopes anew on God, remembering His glorious miracles and obeying His commandments. I read for you from the 78th book of Psalms, verses 4, 6, and 7. May the Lord add blessing to the reading and hearing and understanding of his word.
Amen. Let us pray. God, we come before you this evening so grateful for your presence, for your strength, and your guidance. And we ask for your teaching as we study your word. Help us to gain understanding regarding parenting. Open our hearts and our minds to you and your spirit. And open our hearts and our minds to each other that we might gain and that we might share. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're so excited this evening. Dr. Luke, would you try to take your headset off and see if we can get rid of some of the sound in the system? If not, I don't know what the issue is in the studio this evening. But while I'm trying to gather us together, I'd like to do a little bit about studio etiquette. In the studio, we get feedback if there's someone with a speakerphone or big headset. Oftentimes, it makes it really difficult to hear. So if you're driving and your window's down or you know there's some noise, if you put your phone on mute until you get ready to talk, then it'll make a real clear and crisp sound for the studio. Other than that, we're just asking that when you begin speaking, you say, "This is Dr. Susie," and then you begin to speak, or whoever your whatever your name is, and join us and be prepared to be stretched. We are so excited to have everybody here this evening, and we are ready. We are really, really ready to go. This week, we will be sharing with a Reverend Mason Moton. Reverend Moton, are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Wanted to share. Yes, sir. We hear you very much. I want to introduce Mr. Moton, Reverend Moton, Minister Moton, and then I'd like for him to, lead us in the study. We have several scriptures that we've been reviewing this week, but tonight we're going to look at Psalm 78, 4, 6, and 7, as well as several other scriptures, Micah 4, 5 through 6, and if we have time, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 25. But we're excited tonight to hear from a perspective of a single parent, a male, and what God is calling us to as we choose to give leadership to our children and help them understand their relationship with God. As I said, tonight we have Reverend Minister Mason Moton. He is with the AME Church and has served in various capacities as pastor and pulpit supply and preacher, teacher, evangelist. He has done the gamut of ministry. And he has three lovely children of which he can share in more detail whatever he would like to share at this point. And so he brings to the table his credentials of serving in the church for many, many years. And Minister Moton, if you would like to share anything more than that, to tell us a little bit about your children, or you have the floor.
Well, let me see. Where do I start? I guess I'll just start with just leaving a legacy for your children. And so the scripture that I used in raising my children came from actually Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And so one of the things that I try to instill in my children is a love for Jesus Christ and a love for the teaching of his word, besides nurturing them as a single male in the household. I have two daughters and a son. My son now is 23. My daughter is 21, and I have an 11-year-old daughter. And I've had my two oldest since they were 1 and 3. So I didn't come into single parenting knowing anything about single parenting other than the fact that I was responsible for their well-being, as most of us as parents are.
Amen.
So I had no other choice but to step up to the plate. So, you know, thought about whether I was going to fail or not. You know, it was a work in progress. And in some respect, it still is. They're not grown yet, although they think they are.
You know, This is Dr. Susie. Can you all hear me? One of the interesting things about that is you were sharing about your role as a parent. I was reading a story about Space Shuttle Columbia. It was sharing that they had this, it was the amazing crew that, you know, their last mission, they were lost as they came back through reentry. There was a reentry tragedy. And it was sharing that their commander, whose name was Rick Husband, he was a family man, and he led his family, and it says that he quoted memory verses from Joshua 1 to prepare his crew the night before the launch. And it says he prayed with his crew just before they met the press and boarded the shuttle. He molded his diverse crew. He bonded with his crew. But one of the most touching things that he shares in his story about his children is that he made 17 videos for each of his children, his young son, and it was a devotional with daddy. And it said for each day that they were scheduled to be gone, he made 17 individual devotionals, because that was his time for daddy and the word of God, with daddy praying with them. And it was amazing to me to think of that, and how wonderful a treasure that has to have been for them. He left them with the kind of legacy, Mr. Motown, that you're talking about, the type of legacy where God intends to leave forever, every father to leave this contagious love relationship with Jesus, with their children, teaching a loving and consistent Christ-like purity for God's word and instilling that in his kids. So I think that's wonderful. And just like you were saying, the passage that says, don't exasperate your children, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord, because that's exactly what we need to be doing this, you know, with our children. So, Minister Motana, are there other things that you can share with us about what it was like to be a single parent for our radio audiences? We may have people out there who are struggling and trying to figure out how do they handle being a single parent and leave this legacy of love of God for their children as well.
I think for me, my devotion was to my children. You know, I had to make some self-sacrifice. I had to sacrifice sometimes doing things that would be self-gratifying for me, and that would be probably dating, because I had my children when they were very young. So for me, it was important who comes in and out of my household, if anybody comes in my household, because I had a daughter to raise, and so I had to model my daughter as well as my son. And so, you know, that became important, and so I had to establish a relationship with them early that, as they were growing up, they could always come to me and talk to me about anything. You know, if it was easy for me to go with my son, it was a little bit of a challenge because the relationship of a male-female between your daughter. So you had to get her to buy into that too, because she was able to, when things happened with her body and things of that nature, you know, so she wouldn't feel uncomfortable talking to me about it, you know, and I, you know, would respond accordingly. So those were important.
As I'm listening,
you had to be both mom and dad. I mean, you hear a lot of single mothers having to take on those roles. Well, males have to do the same thing. You know, you have to find that nurturing side in you. I grew up in a house of a disciplinarian father, so that was kind of my personality. But my daughter, you know, through raising her, kind of taught me how to be more nurturing as a individual, as a person, not just as a male, just as a person. And so that taps into some other personalities.
Were there any This is Dr. Susie. Were there any challenges for you in taking care of the girl's hair?
Well, I had to learn how to do hair. I mean, you know, once I took it to the hairdresser, I would go to the hairdresser and teach me what you do because, you know, there might be times I couldn't get to the hairdresser. So I had to learn how to wash set and oil and braid and cornrow and do the whole night. And that, you know, and doing that, that gave her individual attention and showed her, because she'll talk about it even today, how much love I have for her and how she looked.
Wow.
You know, and
wow.
She could, and so when the teachers would ask her who did your hair, and she said her dad. Well, you know, that just gave her another kind of a joy.
Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else you want to share with us before we go into the scripture tonight?
Not at the moment, but you know, I thought that was a good start.
Yeah, I did too. Is there anybody else who wants to make a comment about your brothers that we have on the line? And I'm just curious to how you guys, you know, heard, think about that when he said something about he cornrowed and braided, and, you know, his children's hair. I can just wonder if my brother Eric would cornrow or braid his daughter's hair. He'd probably say, I'm taking you to a beauty shop.
This is Mark. I mean, I have to really give it up to the brother because, you know, doing a woman's, the little girl's hair is no easy task whatsoever. So I have to really, really give you a lot of accommodations for that.
I'm going to tell you, it was not a quick job. It took me hours sometimes. Don't get it wrong. It took me a long time to get it right.
Absolutely. You know, it is. You know, I've got a 14-year-old, and, you know, being a single parent, especially male, is always difficult when you have those difficult relationships with the mom. And for years, that was my case. And so for me, you know, I was that dad that took, you know, my little girl to the zoo and the library and to dance and all that. And you know, one day, a day came where I couldn't do everything that I wanted to do. And so times that I did not have her, this was 4 years, that I did not have the time with my daughter, I had to first forgive. And two, I still had to demonstrate consistency in my behavior. I think kids really need a huge dose of direction and consistency. And as dads, that's a big part of our job. To provide that love, consistency, and direction that many times our children, whether boys or girls, don't see. And so whether we are there the majority of the time or a portion of the time, it's critical for us to still demonstrate, you know, what it is to be a man, how a man should treat a little girl, and how if you have a little boy, how a young man should act as a young man. It's very critical, especially today, that we understand that our roles in our children's lives are mission number one, critical. It's not even an opportunity or chance that we can question. They have to have us in our lives, and if they don't, they are doomed to failure. You know, we've already seen the statistics in regard to those kids who go into the homes, who don't read, who then go to jail. Those factors that aren't mitigated when, you know, a young man grows up and they're trying to find out what should I do, or a young woman is trying to find validation and doesn't have it because we're not there. So it's not even we don't have the opportunity to stand on the sideline and see if things will go well. We have to be in the game.
Well, I want this is Dr. Susie.
Let me just add something to that, because he said something that just kind of just sparked interest now.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, there are times even being a single parent, you know, the kids may go in the wrong direction, a direction that a value or belief you didn't. You know, my son got in a little bit of trouble, and a little bit of trouble with the law. Because things weren't going his way. But that didn't stop me from loving him and stop me from supporting him. You know, he's in college now, but we had our moments. You know, I didn't have that many moments with my daughter. Just kind of, I stood by them, you know, and still showed them love.
Right.
And
right. And I wonder. This is Dr. Susie, Mr. Motown, Reverend Motown. I just wonder also is, you know, I think our daughters really feel the need, and they struggle when they don't have their father there. I wonder, is there something to the fact that, you know, even though you were the male parent, that your son struggled because there wasn't the presence of the mother there. And I think that balance is really needed, and we can't always give it to them. And so, you know, as a man, you can't be a woman, and as a woman, I can't be a man. But all we can do is the best that we can do and pray and teach them and train them with what God has given us the tools to train them with. That's why I think it's so important that we stick with that scripture that you were sharing, Ephesians 6:4, that says, fathers, don't make your children angry. Instead, train them and teach them the ways of the Lord as you raise them. So that scripture's on the table. I'd like to hear from my other people in the studio on it. What you think about that scripture and what's being said on the table right now? Eric.
Yeah, this is Eric. I don't disagree with anything that's been said, and the scripture speaks for itself. You need to be able to teach your children right from wrong, but you also need to be able to nurture them to have their own ideals and their own thoughts, but also to share with them, you know, if it's outside of what God's will is, what the consequences of that is. I think so many times today we have parents who don't want to do that. They want to be friends with their children more so than parents. And children don't need friends. They need parents. Their friends should be friends of their own age. So, I mean, it's a tough job, and we ought to not take it lightly. But, you know, so many times we do because we have folks who are not ready to be parents. You know, it's the only thing that you can do without having to take a test to be required to do that. You know, you got to take a test to get a license. You got to take a test to own a, you know, we're used to on a farm and all that. But, you know, it's critical that we adhere to training our children, teaching them, loving them, supporting them, chastising them when need be, so that they understand that, you know, there are consequences when you don't do things right. And Reverend Luton, I think that most young men growing up, when their father is there, still try to carve out their own legacy, and they look to their fathers and try to outdo or do better, or even that same point of, well, I'm a male too, so I can think for myself. And many times we go down the path of making decisions without all the correct information or right. All of the information. And so, you know, but it, you know, to hear you say that, hey, you know, we had our challenges, he's in school now. And so for me, it's that scripture in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart.
Mm-hmm.
So that sticks with us if we are taught and trained. That sticks with us, and then we'll come to remember it at a later date and time.
Yeah, this is James. I'd like to just discuss that, not provoking your children to anger for a bit, and throw that out to everyone, because our children, if we try to train them up in the way they should go, sometimes they're going to be angry. That's sometimes they're angry and we don't even know why. And if you try to do the right thing sometimes in raising your children will be angry. And you can't abdicate parenting and directing just because they get angry. So, I mean, I think that's something that we need to really think about, what that means as far as not provoking your children to anger.
Amen. Is there anybody else? What does that mean to you guys when we talk about not provoking?
This is Eric. For me, I think that means that you don't go out of your way to down them or demean them or cause them to have bad days and bad thoughts. Provoking a child to anger, if you're training up a child in right and wrong, that's not provoking a child to anger. Now, that means that you're going to have some communication skills to be able to talk to that child about, why you've done what you've done. I remember, growing up, and I was raised by my grandparents growing up, that, they'd say, well, don't do that. And you'd be like, well, why? And I'd say, because I told you not to. And I always told myself that I would never do that. If I'm going to tell a child not to do something, I'm going to tell them why they need not do it, what the consequences are if you do it, why I'm telling you not to do it, because it's for your own best, it's for your own good. Whether you understand it or not, it doesn't matter, because I know that your brain hasn't fully developed for you to reason some of the things that I may tell you. So I think Dr. Nooks is right. They get angry, but once you realize that, you got to have that conversation. Why are you angry? Why are you so, belligerent, or why do you have the attitude that you have because I've done X, Y, Z? Well, let me tell you why I've done X, Y, Z. And I don't think that,
Go ahead. Finish your statement.
No, I'm done.
I was just, my question is this. I'm wondering, as I'm listening to what everybody is saying, I'm not really sure that people are clear about, or is it different for each child, and is it different for each parent? What is parenting? What is training? Is parenting training our children up in the Lord the way that they should go? Is that what parenting is? And if that is it, what types of things should we be doing to train our children? Aren't there some fundamentals that we should all do as parents?
Well, this is James.
This is James.
I think it is different for different children, and I think Eric talked about that before, and I think some other people have expressed, some people you can look at and they understand what it is you're talking about. Other people, you can hit them over the head with a sledgehammer, and it still doesn't get through. So you do, and I've got six daughters, and so, and each one of them is different and unique. And how to reach them is different and unique. And the younger one that I have is 14. She's totally different. She's from a different generation than my older daughters, who are like in their 40s. So approaching her is totally different than how I approach my older daughters. They were in a time period where almost, Eric, what you were talking about, you can pretty much say something and they understood that they were supposed to do it. Younger children now, they aren't as receptive of that parental authority, I find anyway, and they do question more, and sometimes they even get angry when you try to make them, or try to explain to them that they shouldn't do certain things. And so parenting is really trying to teach them how to be adults and how to do that in a godly manner. And sometimes that really goes against who they want to be and what they want to do. And I think that is something that we have to be strong about as parents in doing that and performing that task. And as Christians, we want them to be raised up in a godly manner, and that can be different for different people. But we do want to have them have morals. We want to have them to do the right thing, to treat people right, and also become good adults and parents themselves.
Yeah, this is Eric. So, Dr. Nooks, you're absolutely right. And, in the scripture we read, we will not hide these truths from our children. I will teach you. Well, let me go back. To the first verse. Oh, my people, listen to my teachings, open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in parables. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of his power and his might and the miracles that he did. I mean, so parenting is teaching. Parenting is showing love. It's teaching. It's helping them to grow. And if we are Christians, it's helping them to grow in God. It's helping them to understand God. It's helping them to find God and know that God is there. It's helping them to be good moral citizens, you know. But it's also helping them to understand that we are all fallible. We all fall short. But it's through the grace of Jesus Christ that we can have salvation, and to practice that, and to practice forgiveness and selflessness, you know, and all of those things. So parenting is teaching. Parenting is loving and caring because we are responsible for them. You know, my grandmother used to tell me, I didn't bring you into this world, but I am responsible for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living up under this roof, I am responsible for you. And until you can make your own decisions, well, she wouldn't say decisions. My grandmother's favorite saying was, until you confront your own front, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I'm like, you know, that makes a lot. And that makes a lot of sense these days. I can't say I understood it at 15, 16, and 17, but I certainly understand it now, you know, at 56, 57, even 40. And so, you know, our children are not going to always understand what we do as parents and what we have to do on their behalf, because all they can think about is, I want to do what I want to do, or mostly they want to do what their friends are doing.
Yeah.
And that may not be the best thing for them.
Right.
We have to be examples. We have to be examples. We have to show them or demonstrate what it is we expect them to be, too. And I think that is a big challenge for some parents.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we act a fool.
But it's a challenge. This is Dr. Susie. It's a challenge for us, too, because that Ephesians 6:4 passage, it says, don't make your children angry. Train them and teach them the ways of the Lord. Paul was saying that to people because the children were in the midst of public worship. The children came to the worship with the family. Now, did the children understand all of that? No, but guess what? Paul didn't just tell the parents to admonish the children. He admonished them. And see, today, those of us who are leadership are afraid to say something to somebody else's kid. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, this is Eric. I don't know, you know, I can't say that we're afraid. I can say that you may not know what you're going to get for doing that, because there used to be a culture that if you were out and about and you acted up, you know, wherever you were, they got you, and then by the time you got home, they got you once you got home. But we have parents today who think that their children can do no wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember working for the Boy Scouts, and the kid just went off on me one day, and I took him home and said, listen, this, that, and that. And the mom was like, my child wouldn't do that. And I kept trying to explain, and finally I said, well, let me ask you this question. Has your child ever lied to you? And she thought about it. She's like, well, yeah. I said, so then what makes you think he wouldn't do that to me? What makes you think he wouldn't carry on that way? And she had to stop and think about that. And I think that's the majority of it. And when kids see parents act out in public, oh, my God, then they think they have a license to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. They sure do.
We have other people on the line tonight. Other callers, would any of you like to join us tonight, join in the conversation? I noticed we've got Sean here. Welcome to the line. And we got, looks like Mary. Thank you guys for coming tonight. So we're going to go on with the next.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Sean.
Go ahead. I was just going to make a comment since you asked us to say something. So
do. Please go ahead.
just like I think Dr. Nooks was saying, you know, children have you know, changed over time. I think parenting has too. You know, I think Eric kind of alluded to, you know, our parents in terms of how they raised their kids is, you know, they would just, for lack of a better way of putting it, you know, made demands. It wasn't a discussion. It wasn't what you think, what you feel. It was just authoritative, and this is, I say it and you do it. And I guess I think, you know, well, first of all, let me say this. I'm not a parent, but I'm a child. And, you know, I've had my challenges with my parents when I was younger, and, of course, even now, you know, as an adult. But I think the most important thing is to be truthful with your child. I think that's truth supersedes everything. Even if they're angry, they may be angry now, but when revelation hits them, whether that's now or 20 years later, they can appreciate mom or dad telling them the truth. You know, I think that's very key. And I think that's where the Bible comes in terms of raise your children. You know, God is going to instruct you because God's word is true. So he's like, raise your kids into the truth of the word of God. You know what I'm saying? And you can't fail with truth. I think in the past generations, I know this is to be true for women, older women really didn't tell the young girls the truth of life, per se, because they didn't really felt comfortable discussing what it is to be a woman, as to grow into a woman. And I don't know if that's a cultural thing. I don't know if that's just being African-American or if the white people did that also. But I know as an African-American woman, you know, that has happened to me, and several other women that I know have said the same thing. Now, traditionally, black men, they tell their sons, they tell the men, the young boys, the truth. They take them off and go through rituals and traditions and all this stuff and explain to them what's going to happen and what you're going to do, and this is what a man is, and this is, you know, and little girls or young women are just, we're going to, you know, oppress you, strap you down, and you cook and clean, and then you get married and your husband runs and bosses you around. You know what I'm saying? You're basically there to serve. You know, in generations in the past, they basically groom young girls to serve. And that's why sometimes now you have these women are really kind of hostile because they didn't know the truth. And once they grow up and they get into the world and they have their own experiences in life, they didn't know this. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, well, what about me? You know, I'm here serving everybody but me. I'm serving my husband. I'm serving my children. I'm serving my boss. What about me? And so I'm saying that to say that I think foundationally, if a parent can tell their children the truth, male or female, tell them the truth. And if you don't know the truth, like Dr. Susie said, you know, a woman can never be a man and a man can never be a woman. It is your job as a parent to find someone in that child's life that you trust with your child from that gender to talk to them and tell them the truth about their bodies and tell them the truth of what it is, what the experience in being, you know, a young woman or, you know, a young man or whatever. A mother needs to find an adult male to help her raise her son. And a single father needs to find an adult woman to help him because he can't give her that insight because he doesn't have it. So we have our restrictions and limitations in that. So you need to be in prayer, you need to be in the word, and you need to tell your child the truth. As time goes on, I think they will appreciate that. I think that's a foundational thing. I think the second thing is, I think historically, and again in the black community, depending on where you come from or your environment, a lot of our generations, like my family at this age, most of us are first generation college educated. Most of my, you know, ancestors before me didn't go to college. So they came from, for lack of a better way of putting it, they were the first generation out of slavery. So they have that slave mentality to some degree, this control, manipulate, you know, just, you know, you work hard. And, I mean, you know, it's just like it's a very oppressive attitude in a lot of ways. You know, we're going to oppress you. And that's because they didn't know no better, because that's the environment that they came out of. They just came out of the fields. They haven't been free that long. You know what I mean? So they don't understand the freedom of thinking and creating. We have some people in the community like that, but I'm saying in general. So, you know, all I'm trying to say is I think parenting has changed, but the thing that doesn't change is the Word of God, which is truth. So, you know, I think no matter what age you are or the age your child is, if you go with the truth, you can't go wrong with that, you know. And don't oppress your child because, there's, you know, I feel like God brings children in the world. He entrusts you with a child. But that child is not a possession. It's not like a house or a car. It is a human being that God has entrusted for you to raise to be an independent, responsible, self-sufficient adult. That is the goal, not to be 40 years old living in your mama's basement, you know what I mean? But, you know, training them to be self-sufficient, you know, and not to, when you get old, be there to bring you a glass of water or, you know, that type of thing. So I think sometimes people get twisted on that whole relationship of, you know, they kind of like live, you know, through their children or want to make their child, like I said, their toy or their game to play. And I think when the truth is revealed to that child as they get older, if it was a lie, they can resent them. And that's how you have all these people in these, I hate to say, assisted living homes or nursing homes where these people cry and say, I never see my children. My children never come and see me. Well, why is that? If you love something, you're going to come and visit it. You're going to miss it. You're going to want to be there. And sometimes parents have misused their authority. And that's why their kids aren't there when they get old. So that's just my thought around it.
Amen. Amen. One of the things, go ahead, Mark. But let's not forget love. Love is real central to this. Go ahead.
I truly agree with what Sharon was speaking of is presenting the truth at all times. You know, truth will always prevail. But one of the things I think in today's for today's kids is they have lost their servitude attitudes. Most of our kids, and I'm including my child also, they have a sense of entitlement, and it's really our fault. You know, we've given them everything. We've given them opportunities. We've allowed them to express their opinions, and many times they have not learned just to be a child or to be in the place of a child. And so when things don't go their way, they act out. And
let me ask a question, Mark. What do you mean by in the place? This is Dr. Susie. Clarify what you mean by in the place of a child.
When I say in the place of a child, meaning that we grew up that you don't disrespect an elder. You don't, if two parents, two older people are speaking, you don't interrupt that conversation. You don't get sassy with a parent who tells you to, you know, go do your chores. You don't have that conversation of, why do I have to do my chores? You know, if a parent tells you to do your chores, then your job is to do your chores. And so I think, you know, many of us have relinquished some of that authority, and we've gone to the other end and said, okay, our children, you just do whatever you want, and we're almost looking for their validation versus them looking for our validation. Kids need direction, support, love, and consistency, and we as parents must give that to them on a regular basis. And if we don't, those children will grow up larger, faster, quicker, but will not have the mindset, the intelligence, the fortitude to be able to deal with adult situations as they come. And, you know, we always see in the newspaper, on TV, you know, children are getting bigger, teachers are scared of them or what have you, and we haven't trained our kids how to deal with these adults who don't even know how to deal with our kids. And it's much, and of course, it gets much worse. Well, we're not even dealing with our own kids.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. We're here with Love Connection Bible Study, and we're talking about the passage of Ephesians 6:4, where it says, don't make your children angry, fathers. Instead, train them and teach them the ways of the Lord as you raise them. So just kicking everybody who just joined us in, we're talking about that passage. Now, Reverend Motown, is there anything, do you want to go to the next scripture, or does anybody else want to say something before we go to the next?
I just
want to
just point out one, the sister that spoke before the gentleman, this is Reverend Motown. You know, it is okay to find people that can help you. One of the things that I did were find other women that were like-minded in terms of raising their children, that have my daughter around so she could be around other females, since there wasn't a mother in the household. You know, it teaches her some things about her body and things. And so it's okay to get some help, you know, and to ask for some help.
Amen.
And,
amen.
She made a, you know, a good point, you know. And sometimes I put my son around other males other than me. I don't have all the answers, you know. But, you know, you try to find that and be in prayer about, you know, having God bring other people in your life that can help orient you.
Amen.
But I came in an environment where I didn't have any family where I lived. So, you know, I was dependent on the church and the school community in which we lived in, people in the neighborhood and people that I knew.
Amen. Is there anybody else who would like to talk more about that topic?
Let me just add something. This is Mary. And
sure.
I was in a conversation with a group of ladies, and one was a producer, one was a screenwriter, and one worked for Lifetime TV. And my question to her was, when can we get back to morality TV? Children nowadays, for lack of better words, they are being raised by television. They're being raised by videos. They're being raised by the songs that they hear. Social media has them. And good, solid character, good, solid virtue is in competition with so much. When I was coming up, we had three channels, and the TV went off at 10 or 12 or something like that. But these kids have phones. They, you know, they have phones. They have so much to compete with the do's and the don'ts, the rules, you know, how to be a good person. Because they're looking at Mean Girl. They're looking at 16 and Pregnant. So for us to say as parents, you know, we need to do more of this and more of that, it's not quite fair. See, these kids are afraid of nothing. And the teachers are afraid of the kids. The parents are afraid of the kids. And the kids are afraid of nothing. We took prayer out of school. We took a lot of things away that gave them that fundamental foundation of how to behave and how to be respectful. And I think that's where we dropped the ball. I don't think giving them a lot of material things was the only thing that went wrong. I really don't. I think it's just so much competition out here with these values.
This is Eric. Well, there's going to be competition when we don't monitor what's going on.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, monitoring is key. I mean, we could only look at 2 hours per night, you know.
Yeah, that's not bad for your kids today. Yeah, but, you know, when they got a TV in their room and they phone, you ground to go to your room. Send me to my room. I got everything I need, and I can be totally isolated. You're not coming in to see what I'm doing.
Right. That's what I said. That was my initial point.
Or what you watching.
These kids are being raised by, you know, just going and put a movie on, just going in, and that's how they're being raised.
And sometimes we taking them to some of those movies. I lived in St. Louis and worked for a church, and one of my colleagues took his son to see The Incredibles, which was a cartoon movie. And he said, oh, man, come on, go with us. So I went, and we got through the movie. I'm like, man, this is not a kid movie. This movie is not for kids. Oh, he'll be all right. I'm like, no, Art, this movie is not for kids. This is an adult movie. But, you know, people just, oh, well, you know, it's a cartoon. It's for kids. All cartoons aren't for kids.
But see, that's a prime that's a prime example of what somebody mentioned about speaking up right there.
But this is Sean, and I was going to say, there's always things that's, I mean, that was out there before. It wasn't just cartoons, but I guess what I'm saying, when I was a little girl and men would come over and visit my father, like I had to go in a house. You always have to monitor your children. You don't allow, like I think Mark was saying or something, you know, a child has to know their place, and as a parent, you need to know when there's going to be adults and adult conversation taking place, and you send your child off during that time. So you always have to monitor, you know, what your child is doing. I mean, when I was a child, we always had to say, where are we going? Who are we going to be with? Who are their parents? What do their parents do? I mean,
absolutely.
Because if you don't know, because there were people that did drugs back then, you know, they were drunk back then, you know what I'm saying? There were, you know, sex offenders, child molesters, all that was going on back then too, you know what I'm saying? So you always had to monitor your child's environment.
That's true. You can raise a child for 18 years and perfectly. And the 19th year, someone can undo all your great raising, in a matter of no time at all. No, that's something called peer pressure, and it's real. Kids learn things from each other more so than they do adults.
I agree. We have to be very, very careful of the exposure that our children get. I mean, it's so easy when we look at TV, your radio, and we look at social media, whether it be Facebook or Snapchat or any other social media, and kids, like Eric was saying, they could be in their room, and as long as they have a phone or an iPad or a TV, they have access to everything, to Netflix and anything that's on. And if we as parents don't monitor what movies they go to, you know, who are their friends, where they go, then we're not doing our job as parents to at least try to shield them from some of the things that will cause harm to them. You know, I think it's important that when you have a 13, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old, that you don't take them to an R-rated movie. Why is that? You don't want them to see the sex, the violence, the verbiage that is said in those movies. Because guess what? They will take that same attitude and mentality that they saw in the movie and act upon it because they saw it in the movies. It must be okay.
I can take some innocent life out of
them. Mary, we can't hear you.
Oh, no, I just want to keep some innocent in the
Okay. Well, I hear the conversation, and it's really clear. Mr. Moton, is there anything else you want to talk about in that area or any particular area you want to focus on right now?
No, thank you.
Okay. So let's look at Malachi, the fourth chapter. Someone read the fifth through the sixth verse. We're going to close with that. And then we ask if there's anybody who I just want to read the scripture as we close. I can read it. I have it right here. The thing is, you know, I think we've had a very, very good discussion tonight about parenting and all the challenges that involve. In Malachi 4:5-6, it says, Elijah will teach parents how to love their children. He will also teach children how to honor their parents. If that does not happen, I will come and I will put a curse on the land. That was from the New International Reading Version. There are different versions, of course, that have that as well. I'm going to try to read it from another version. The NIV says, I guess that's NIV too. That was NIV. So the objective is that parents are the ones that teach how to love the parents. God teaches the parents how to love their children through relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we as parents teach our children. And then that should come back and forth. That as we love our children, they in turn learn as we are training them how to go and operate in the world. So I'd like to get everybody to kind of give one last statement tonight on what we can leave with our radio audience about parenting. My statement that I want to leave is I believe that in loving our children, we teach them the Word of God. And as we teach them the Word of God, that love becomes instilled in them. And I think Mary was talking about the morals and the values that we set inside of them to help them determine what is right and wrong, to give them values so that when they get old enough, they can test those things for themselves. But as a child, we have to mold them and give them something to hold on to so that they have something to try later, something to balance what it is that they're testing that the world will throw at them. So somebody else want to throw something else in there? The next person.
Hey, I just want to say it's just our responsibility as parents to love our children. We have to be the ones to show the love.
Amen. And is there anyone else? Eric?
I would just say that you have to be engaged in your child's life at every aspect, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've got to be engaged, and you've got to be able to have a form of communication, because not that you're trying to reason with the child, but you're trying to set out those truths that Sean talked about so that they begin to understand and formulate that in their own mind.
Amen. Mark?
Love as a parent is not only giving vision and direction and the opportunity to grow, but it's also giving discipline and correction as well as accountability. I think if we as parents hold ourselves accountable, then our children should be accountable to themselves also.
This is Sean. I think parenting is a huge, huge responsibility. And I think if more people knew how big of a responsibility it was, they would think twice about being a parent. Not that it's a bad thing, but I think a lot of people wake up one day and say, oops, I'm a parent. They didn't really think about what that entails. It's a job. It's a job, and it's a job you have till they throw dirt over you. Because I'm almost, you know, I'm pushing 50, and I still talk to my mom every day, and I'm not the only one. It's a job that never really ends. I mean, it's not the same. It changes over time, but I'm just saying it's a lot of responsibility, and most people fall into it instead of, you know, really making a conscious decision, I want to be a parent.
Is there any comments from Kentucky? Anybody want to add about parenting? All right, then. Mr.
Dr.
Moton?
Yes. Dr. Susie? This is Brian from Louisville.
Yes.
I just like to say that if you do your diligence in the early part of your child's life, raise them according to what the Bible says, then you will receive your reward as you see your child get older. And they, if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says that your child will stray. But the things that you brought to them, that you taught to them at a very young age, for me, it is very rewarding to watch your child grow and see that although they stray, they always come back to the teachings that you gave them in the very beginning.
Amen. Thank you so much. Minister Moton, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Yeah, I sure will. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and glory for this forum of parenting. We thank you for the participants. We thank you for those who shared and those who did not share. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.